I suppose my question would be directed at Director Kravitz. I find it to be very unlikely that there's going to be any, like you alluded to, that there's going to be any development of infrastructure for water or sewer there. If there was a stormwater runoff issue at this point, having the development around that plot, and also those are paved roads, I believe, all the way around, right?
On three sides.
Yeah. So if there was an issue of stormwater, we would have probably already have realized that at this point for the amount of decades that the city has been in care and control of that land. Is that fair to say?
Perhaps.
I would venture to say probably we would have known about the issue at this point. I would agree with the petitioner and petitioner's counsel. I think my brother stated it fairly accurately that unless the city's willing to concede some significant value, there can be no meeting of the minds here as far as the value goes, because if the city's going to retain for the purposes of making some sort of stormwater runoff, I mean, essentially the usage of that property could be completely nullified. I wouldn't support keeping the easement in the contract if we were going to demand from the purchaser the same amount of value. That's pretty much my only comment there.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. First, a question to the planning director. Would the city have, pardon me, would the city have any objection to proceeding with this sale, that is the abandonment, based on the amount set forth in the appraisal, without reserving that easement?
I think potentially yes. It's, from what I'm hearing, I think it's the city's desire to maintain the policy that it's always done. That's probably why we got the response we did from engineering. So I'd hate to speak for them or create some kind of a precedent, even though it's policy.
And I suppose, to be clear, it may be the city's policy, but there's no specific plan at this stage, and it's also recognized as unlikely that the city would need to proceed with actually using that easement in this situation. So while understanding that there is a general policy that the city attempts to abide by in these circumstances, it's also, would it be fair to say, it's a situation where the basis for that general policy, putting aside the purposes of precedent, we're not necessarily envisioning actually using this particular land for those particular purposes. It's really just a matter of the city prefers to always reserve those rights.
I mean, I can say this, I haven't been here that long, but in the abandonments I have handled, there's been others where there were no reason to take an easement, and we still took an easement. I mean, this is just the first time this has really come up, so that's why I'm hesitant to say that the city would let it go. They've always, it's something they've always done, apparently, so.
I can understand that. I suppose my next question here is that, in theory, if the sale were to be approved, then, under those circumstances, if at some unknown point in the future, whether it's a year, 10 years, or 100 years from now, assuming that the law, that is the Constitution, the Takings Clause, the Rhode Island equivalent of that, and so forth, basically we'd anticipate that the city would be able to exercise eminent domain powers and effectively take the land in exchange for fair compensation. And by take, I don't mean take the land in its entirety, but rather take for those specific and limited types of purposes that would be present in this easement.
I suppose there could be a future scenario where the city would condemn the property, but we don't know what would happen from now to then. You know, there could be structures placed on it. There could be, it may not be in the same status that it is as we're talking about it tonight.
Which is true. And I'm not necessarily suggesting condemning the property as a whole, but in the admittedly unlikely scenario where there would be the need to install a certain line or the like, it's my understanding, and I don't mean to speak as an attorney here. I always try not to put on that particular hat while I'm sitting in this particular seat, but it's my general understanding, U.S. Supreme Court case law and the like, that it's certainly possible for a municipality or government at various levels to, short of condemning, effectively taking a portion of land or land in its whole in fee simple, also possible under some circumstances for there to be a partial takings of that nature. So, and certainly running a line near the edge of the property wouldn't necessarily entail condemning the entire property. So I suppose that that's more of a comment than it is a question. But I suppose a question for the applicant, the petitioner here, would be to clarify, the desire here is primarily in order to take the land fee simple without having the easement language in it, but just as any other property owner, there would be some implied recognition that if the city or some other governmental entity with appropriate authority came along and went through that process of eminent domain as to, and you know, even as to a specific easement, a little a line running around the edge or one of the edges of the property, that's always a risk that any property owner may foresee, I suppose.
That's correct, Councilman.
Okay, thank you. You know,
could I just add one brief thing, Councilman and Mr. President, if it's okay? If there were drainage issues in the neighborhood, you'd know it tonight, and you all know that because all of you who serve as councilmen and all of you who serve in local government, if there were drainage issues in the neighborhood, this has been going on for a year, and the people in the neighborhood know what's going on because there's four property owners involved. So if there were drainage issues and this had some impact on a solution to that, they would have been calling up Councilman Kirby, or they would have been calling the Public Works Department, the Engineering Department, or they would have come here tonight. So that's pretty far-fetched. And we know it's not a water or a sewer issue because the water lines are already in the neighborhood, and so are the sewers. Thank you.
Thank you. I suppose my brief comment to try to briefly wrap it up, that is that from everything that I'm hearing and seeing here, I don't think that the city would necessarily be losing any rights by allowing this to proceed without that specific reservation of easement expressly in the deed itself. It's simply a matter of, in the unlikely scenario that the city actually wants to proceed in that manner, then the city would have to follow that other particular procedure and give fair compensation for the taking to the extent of any taking, like it would various other properties in the event that it went to that extent. And here, it appears that the appraisal is based on the applicants receiving this land abandoned without that those various easements. So it appears to me that it's very unlikely that the city would have to pay to get back some of its rights. And here, the city is receiving compensation for this abandonment without retaining those particular easement rights. So speaking for myself, I would be comfortable proceeding as the applicant's attorney is suggesting. Not that I intend to set any precedent here, of course, because I think that it is a fine general practice for the city to maintain these types of easements in general.
Councilman Muto.
Thank you. Just a quick question. We talked about the land 367-491. That's the lot behind the petitioner's current address.
Well, let me pull out the map, Councilman. Nope. But my client's land is sufficient in area and dimensions that if Hopper Street were improved where it's unimproved, behind their house would become a buildable lot by right.
Yep.
If that answers your question.
No. So no. What I'm asking is that becomes landlocked without an easement. So
sir, it's not landlocked because it would merge with the lot in front of it that has frontage on the.
Oh, you're merging road. It. You're merging the.
Well,
lots.
It would happen when you don't have frontage. It would happen by operation of the law because you can't create a lot without frontage on a street.
Thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome. But it would merge, definitely. And we don't have an issue with that.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. I'd just point out that in the position paper, it specifically states that the city staff had no objections. City Engineering Division, Water Division, Sewer Authority, Fire Department, Police have no objection to the proposed abandonment. So I would think it's safe to say that if the Sewer Authority or the Water Department had any possible idea that they may need to have this, they would have put that in there. And oftentimes I've seen over the years that sometimes we do need to make exception to policy because sometimes these policies can become somewhat outdated, if not totally outdated. And this is one particular case here. So being that there was no objection from water or sewer and the comments made by Mr. Revens, I would certainly support removing that particular language that speaks to the rights of way, etc. Thank you.
Councilman Napa.
Yes, just to dovetail off of Councilman Lattiser's comments just now, I'd also be in support of moving forward without the easement. I think it's our job as the council to evaluate these on a case-by-case basis and when those easements make sense in some circumstance. I think when you look at the composition of this neighborhood, where this parcel of land sits and the purchase price for which there's already been an agreement, there clearly was a misunderstanding of what they were purchasing and what the offer was based on. I don't think it seems reasonable for us to force the homeowner or force the petitioners to purchase the lot at the perceived price with that easement in place. And I don't think that that sets a dangerous precedent in any way for the council. All of these things have to be set forth before us. Even if there wasn't language of an easement placed in, we could, as a reasonable body, provide that an easement be placed in at the time of the abandonment. So I don't think we're putting ourselves in a position of or a weakened position rather as far as being able to assert the right for easements in the future. That's all.
Mr. President, this is a legislative act. So there's no precedent in whether you grant it or whether you deny it or whether you include the easement or whether you don't. You know, you're free to do whatever your wisdom is as to what you think is best.
All right, so I have my own thoughts on this that I'll share once we're through with the speaking for, against, and then speaking. But just to make sure we go through the process, is there anyone here to speak in favor of the petition? Is there anyone here to speak in favor of the petition? Is there anyone here to speak in favor of the petition? Is there anyone here to speak against the petition? Is there anyone here to speak against the petition? Is there anyone here to speak against the petition? Is there anyone here to speak on the petition? Just in general, you don't even have to take a stance. Anyone here to speak on the petition? Anyone here to speak on the petition? All right, seeing none, do we have a motion to close the public hearing? So moved by Councilman Foley. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Clerk, if you can call the roll, please. Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Yes. All right, the public hearing is now closed. So, just my own thoughts. I don't disagree with anything anyone said, frankly. It all makes sense. The one hesitancy I have is that I haven't seen personally something come along, at least not to my recollection, something come along where the city didn't explicitly acquiesce either prior to the city council meeting or at the council meeting to deviating from the policy, whatever it might be. And given that this is not a matter to be taken lightly, that's why there's a stenographer here, I would prefer personally that we simply hold this so that the city and the petitioner can connect on it and everyone reach alignment one way or another, regardless of which direction they go, rather than us having to play judge and jury on a situation that's not really a high conflict situation. No one's really at each other's throats or anything like that. It just seems to be a misunderstanding that likely can be worked out one way or another. So that's my preference. To each their own, though. So if we were to hold it, I prefer to hold it till probably May 5th, give everyone time, plus with vacation coming up. But are there any other questions or comments on this first? Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, before entertaining or considering a motion to hold, I would just like to ask the director or the chief of staff if either of you would have any objections to removing this language. And before you answer, if the answer is no, fine. If the answer is yes, then by all means, I would support the council president's opinion of holding this so you guys can, you know, take off the gloves and do whatever you got to do. So what's your answer, sir?
Good evening, Bill Facente, Chief of Staff to Mayor Picozzi. The city has historically requested and required a permanent easement, whether there's plans for future water lines, sewer lines, today, tomorrow, 40 years from now, drainage work. Whenever we abandon roadways, we've historically asked for and received permanent easements. And this would be no different. So the city would like to, would insist, there was an April 23rd memo from the city engineering department that specifically says if the abandonment is authorized to proceed, the city of Warwick must be granted a permanent perpetual easement to maintain and install utilities. The January 22nd memo from Director Kravitz lists that the city departments had no objection based on a part of maintaining a permanent easement. So that answers your question.
It does. And with that said, I would certainly have to agree with the council president. And, you know, you guys go back to the ring and figure out what you're going to do with values, et cetera. Thank you.
Councilman Napa?
I lost it.
Oh, all right. Councilman Kirby?
Yes, see, looking on the map here, seeing they already have drainage on all three sides of this property, and sewers and water, I see no reason to hold it up any further.
Got it back.
All right, Councilman Napa.
Maybe to the chief or Director Kravitz, I'm not sure who could field this question, but the memorandums that you referenced, were those only circulated in-house or were those presented to petitioner's counsel or the petitioner themselves?
I'd have to check with my staff. Lydia handled a lot of this, so the additional time would help with all of that too.
Yeah, and I think if there wasn't a exchange of information, I think it's in support of council president to hold it and allow time to make sure everybody's on the same page.
And I should ask too, we can hold it to the prior meeting as well, April 21st instead. I just picked May on the chance that there wouldn't be a lack of time. But if that's too much, then April 21st works too. But I don't know if the petitioner or the city has a preference.
Mr. President, I'm not available on the 21st. I'd be available any day after that. Thank you.
All right, that makes that easier. Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, just had a thought here. Obviously, you know, we're looking at expenses as well for having the stenographer come back for another meeting. So would it be appropriate to maybe take a 10-minute recess and see if the two parties can come to some agreement right now? It doesn't seem to be like some big deal.
So we'd have to speak, Bill Facenti again, Chief Staff. So we'd have to confer with city engineering. So we wouldn't be able to do it in 10 minutes.
I see.
And the, so.
Okay, thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I would also just like to hear from the applicant if they would desire, if they think that it's feasible to proceed with trying to get this worked out, having it continued to that date. As I also want to be cognizant of the costs and the delay to the petitioner here as well.
Yeah, the upside is we've completed the public hearing process regardless. So that won't need to be done again. So does anyone like to make a motion to hold until the May 5th meeting? Motion made by Councilman Foley. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any questions or comments on the motion? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll to hold until the May 5th meeting.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes to hold to 5-5.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the council.
Next, we have PCO 7-25, order on the abandonment of a portion of Old Quaker Lane, Colbia Enterprises, LLC, petitioner. Councilman Napa, could you please request to open the public hearing on behalf of Councilman Gebhardt?
Yes, I'd like to request that we open the floor, open this issue for a public hearing.
Is there a second on the motion? There's a second by Councilman Lattiser. Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby? Mr. Lattiser? Mr. Muto? Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Eight yes to open the public hearing.
All right, public hearing is now open. And I should, I would just catch something that I didn't catch. Public properties, what was your recommendation on this?
Recommend open public hearing.
Perfect. All right, public hearing is now open. Is the petitioner here or representative thereof?
Yes. James Hall, general counsel for the petitioner, Colbia Enterprises, with an office at 695 George Washington Highway in Lincoln.
Howdy. Feel free to go on with your presentation.
Well, I think I'd like to have the hearing opened and possibly closed, but I think having seen the prior petition, we're going to end up in the same situation. But I think we can discuss that maybe at the end. The petition is for Colbia Enterprises, which is the abutter of the property that's proposed for abandonment, to purchase the property when we had the property appraised and when there was an agreement to purchase the property. It was fee simple, unencumbered, without any sort of easements being retained by the city. The property has the abandonment of the property and the purchase of the property has gotten a positive recommendation from the planning board. The property ceases to be useful as a highway or driftway and fits all the criteria for abandonment. The area that is set for abandonment, as you can see from the papers, is actually not any part of the paved portion of Old Quaker Lane. It's an area adjacent to Old Quaker Lane, an area that's currently occupied by the curb cuts, utility poles, signage that's associated with the Seasons Corner Market at that location. The roadway, paved surface, and travelways are unaffected by anything in the proposal, including what is the real purpose of our acquisition of the property, which is a small expansion on the backside of the car wash in order to facilitate a more environmentally friendly car wash. Which brings up the point of the possibility of there being an easement, a blanket easement across the property. Frankly, if there is a blanket easement across the property, then we can't put that small shed on the back of the car wash, and it would sort of obfuscate the entire purpose of the purchase. Again, it's a purchase of roughly $36,000 to purchase this property, which would be taxable after we purchase the property. We would have no use for it if there's a blanket easement, and we couldn't construct that small shed on that area after we purchase it. If there's any questions, you know, I'd like to answer any questions, and if we have the open hearing open and closed in order to then have further discussion with planning, I'd be happy to answer any of that. I've got Louis Barone from Crossman on this project, from Dupree Engineering, if you have any technical questions, but I think it's a pretty straightforward proposal. I think that council's well aware of the standards and what the application is, simply based on the prior application being heard.
So Director Kravitz, is it the same position for the city as far as the easement?
Yes.
Already. Well, that cues us up for Councilman Ricks, looks like.
Thank you. Are there any specific plans for using this particular easement for any of those purposes? And, you know, while the planning director is taking a look.
I'm sorry, I thought that question was directed to the applicant.
Oh, pardon me. Rather to the planning director, if there were reservations of easements that the city wished to maintain here that various utility easements, that is, that would be anything that the applicant is objecting to or has an issue with. If there were, if the city has any particular plan or thinks it likely that any easement of that nature would actually be used in this circumstance? Unless it's, I was misunderstanding what was being raised earlier.
This is a partial abandonment now. So it would be the city's position, policy, as they've always done, to retain a utility easement if needed in the future.
Thank you. And is there any issue with that reservation?
There would be an issue with their reservation because it's a blanket easement across the entirety of the property. So it would prevent any development or improvement anywhere on that property. That would violate the easement. So it would obfuscate the entire purpose of the abandonment and the purchase. This property is a little bit different, and I do understand the position that the planner's in. Again, this is policy. It's not law. It's not ordinance. It's just custom. But in this particular instance, if indeed there was a need to put any sort of utility in that area, it would go down the roadway, as it generally does. I think in this particular instance, it's a little different than sort of a drainage, you know, on-site drainage issues or an easement in order to handle drainage. This would be truly utilities, water utilities that, as are customarily done, would go under the roadway, which the roadway will still be in full existence. Half of that road is still in Warwick. The other half of the road is in West Warwick. But again, I do understand the position that the planner is in at this point with regard to having this policy and having to deal with this probably after the hearing.
The appraisal that was performed by your clients, was that prefaced on receiving the land in fee simple, or was there any assumption in there by the appraiser that the city would reserve these particular types of easements?
It was fee simple, unencumbered. So there was no anticipation that there would be a reserved blanket easement over the property.
I see. So there may be an issue similar to the issue with the previous petition, and it's a good thing that that was brought to our attention. Putting that aside, and I know that that's an awful big caveat here, but simply while we're on the record, there were some issues that prior to the public hearing, I had run by you. I had similarly had a discussion with the planning director earlier today. It's my understanding that there was a notice sent to the town of West Warwick. Mm-hmm. If you could answer on the mic.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there was notice sent to the town of West Warwick, and many of the abutters are actually over the line into West Warwick. There was a notice also sent to the Historic Cemeteries Commission, which is has a cemetery over the line on the West Warwick side, and I know that was brought to your attention as well.
Thank you. Yes, and I had a discussion with the planning director earlier where he had a email exchange with his counterpart in the planning department for the town of West Warwick back in September of 2024. So it certainly seems to me that the entity, the town of West Warwick, has been aware, and has the town, that is the municipality of West Warwick, have they presented any objection to any of the plans?
No.
So that's good to hear. So to clarify, while on the record, this abandonment would not affect the roadway itself, correct?
Correct.
No change to the roadway. And that roadway is over 25 feet wide, curb to curb, correct?
Yeah. It is.
Okay, thank you. That addresses a potential concern about the buffer zone between the historical cemetery and where any improvement may be. So it seems to me that those various other concerns that had been brought to my attention have been addressed, and now that leaves that one outstanding issue. Mm-hmm. So I'll simply defer to my colleagues for the moment and reserve my time.
Okay. And just to follow up, even if the roadway were not 25 feet wide, any disturbance within 25 feet of any cemetery has to go through the State Cemeteries Commission. There's a whole process when you're that close to cemetery. Fortunately, we're not going to be anywhere near a cemetery with what we're proposing.
Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is directed at the petitioner. We have here in our packet a memorandum on the city's letterhead. I believe it was prepared by Director Kravitz, dated February 7th, 2025, outlining several restrictions and setbacks, things to consider, such as DEM requirements, soil erosion, so on and so forth. Did you receive this?
Yeah, that's the zoning that came through the planning board sitting and Unified Development as the zoning board as well, with regard to the actual improvement that we're proposing to the car wash, but not necessarily relates directly to the abandonment.
So I think we're in a significantly different position than we were on the first petitioner, where there is clearly communications about some sort of restrictions and city oversight on this property. Very different from the residential area where we're looking at abandoning the city and abandoning that property and allowing the homeowner to do with it as they wish. We've obviously identified some sort of breakdown in communication as far as when are we getting these appraisals, under what conditions, are we sending them over in fee simple, is there going to be an assumption of an easement? So I think we need to address moving forward any of these abandonments, where that breakdown in communication happened, why it happened, and clarify moving forward, should appraisals happen before we have an understanding of whether or not there's going to be an easement. I find this particular abandonment much more ripe for the city to maintain an easement, because it's not a full abandonment, it's just a partial abandonment. And if the city's going to maintain a large part of the existing roadway, it would make sense that, you know, some of that area might be infringed. Obviously, we wouldn't be asking you to tear down any structure that would have been constructed afterwards, but I think an easement in this instance makes more sense, which circles me back to when we evaluate these on a case-by-case basis, I don't think there is any issue of precedence. So when did the conversations happen, I suppose, for you to be under the assumption that you were going to receive this property in fee simple? Had that conversation happened? Do you have anything to support that conversation happened?
We had several conversations with regard to having the property appraised. There was never any indication that it would be appraised as encumbered by a blanket easement. It would be substantially less valuable.
It was an assumption that you were going to receive that at fee simple, not an actual conversation that happened.
Correct. There's no statute, there's no ordinance that would require there to be an easement, but obviously there's a policy. So we were not aware of that policy when we had it appraised.
Okay. If I may, it likely didn't come up because the first iteration of the applicant's petition to the planning board actually just notched out a little bit of the right-of-way to serve the addition they wanted to make to the car wash. So in just looking at my files again, I have no memo from DPW. So likely because it's only an 11-foot wide abandonment, and so this whole notion of the easement is not a big deal in this case, because we've got an extra 12 feet to the city line to work with if we needed to in the future. So this application would definitely be different than the first one from that perspective.
That's the last of my questions.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'll just briefly comment that, from my understanding of what this this project would do, is effectively it would be a more efficient car wash for the existing use of a car wash that's already there, using approximately 60% less water. It seems to me that this is the sort of improvement that we would like to see here in Warwick as a city, more environmentally conscious, using better use of our water resources, and that also means less water going into the sewer system. So it is an issue where I do think that this needs to be hammered out between the applicant and the city. I think that similarly, if my colleagues and the council president, as well as the applicant and the city, think that having some additional time for the parties to work out the details here would be prudent, then I would certainly agree with that position. Let the parties have a little time to work out this issue, because I do see this as something that is an all-around benefit to the city, where the city gets money in exchange for this abandonment directly, as well as this abandonment otherwise being in alignment with improving the environment, better use of resources here locally. So that's all that I have to say on this topic right now, and I would reserve my time. Thank you.
All right, so we'll go through the standard process first before we do anything else. So first, is anyone here to speak for the petition? Is there anyone here to speak for the petition? Is there anyone here to speak for the petition? Is there anyone here to speak against the petition? Is there anyone here to speak against the petition? Is there anyone here to speak against the petition? Is there anywhere to speak, anyone here to speak on the petition at all? On it, in any regard. Is anyone here to speak on the petition? Is anyone here to speak on the petition? Seeing none, do we have a motion to close the public hearing? Councilman Foley moves. Jeremy, Councilman Ricks seconds. Any questions or comments?
Oh, no.
Clerk will call the roll on the motion to close public hearing.
Council President, if we could just hold one moment, I think Director Kravitz has something to add.
I just wanted to be, I didn't hear what Mr. Rick said. I was speaking to Chief of Staff, but to be clear that in this situation, because the petitioner is only requesting a small partial abandonment of the roadway, the notion of this retaining an easement isn't as important.
All right, well, clerk will call the hold on the public hearing closure.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes to close the public hearing.
All right, the public hearing is now closed. So just for my own edification, I'm unclear, truthfully, as far as where we stand. It sounds like the city doesn't have as much of a concern regarding the easement. It sounds like the petitioner, it's at least for tonight's purposes, a deal breaker to have said easement. So does the city, is the city okay with it being removed, or do you wish
yes.
to do, all right.
Yeah.
There we go. Now I am very clear. So that would be in the order, I think it is again number six. Yes, it is number six on the order on the abandonment. So does anyone wish to make a motion to remove order number six? Councilman Ricks?
So moved.
Second. Motion made by Councilman Ricks, seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Is there any questions or comments on the motion to remove order number six from the order on the abandonment? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes to amend.
All right, so now we have the proposed abandonment as amended, which removes number 6 from the order. Are there any questions and comments on the proposed abandonment as it now stands? All right, seeing none, do we have a motion? Councilman Foley moves favorable action, seconded by Councilman Lattisa, Councilman Ricks, and this is as amended. Clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes, favorable as amended, first passage.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And Councilman Lattisa, do you have something before we move on to unfinished business? Or wait, I lied to you. You were going to do it before unanimous consent.
It's your call. I can do it now or I can do it after.
It's up to you.
Okay, I'll do it now. I'd like to request, I believe, based on Robert's rules, to Council Solicitor.
Councilman Lattisa would like to request unanimous consent on it's the resolution 25-31 that we voted at the last meeting, otherwise known as PCR 3725, a resolution to the General Assembly. I have the full title, but this was regarding the civil rights enforcement legislation that is pending before it. He's asking for unanimous consent to change his vote. It would not change the outcome.
Is there any objection to letting Councilman Lattisa change his vote on the stated resolution from the prior meeting? Seeing none, Councilman Lattisa's stance changed.
Yes, I wish to change my vote from a yes to a no.
All right, and there's no objection there too, so moved and so ordered. Now we move on to unfinished business. PCO 4-25, an ordinance amending section 2-13 of the Code of Ordinances to clarify the procedure for claims and appeals of determinations. This is second passage ordinance.
Committee recommends favorable action, and I'd like to move for favorable action.
Second. Seconded by Councilman Muto. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes, second passage.
Next, PCO 6-25, an ordinance to prohibit through trucking on Orchard Avenue. This is ordinance.
Committee recommends to hold till the meeting on June 16th. I'd like to make the motion to hold this until June 16th.
All right. Any objection to that motion to the hold until June 16th? Seeing none, so ordered. Now we have new business, PCR 28-25, a resolution naming the North Country Club Field walking path in honor of Harry Carter. This is Councilman Foley and Committee Public Properties.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Ricks.
I'll defer to my councilman colleague from Ward 1.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Ricks. Any questions or comments on the resolution? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes, motion passes.
Next, we have PCR 38-25, a resolution in observance of Arab American Heritage Month. And this is public properties.
Committee recommends favorable action. I move favorable action.
Motion made by Councilman Ricks, seconded by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on the resolution? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes, motion passes.
Next, we have PCR 41-25, a resolution ratifying the memorandum of agreement between the City of Warwick and Local 1651, Council 94, AFSCME. AFL-CIO to clarify the calculation of employee contributions to the other post-employment benefits trust fund. This is finance. Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommended favorable action.
Second.
So
move favorable action on PCR 41-25.
And seconded by Councilman Muto. Any questions or comments on the resolution? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes, motion passes.
On a unanimous consent, first we have PCO 9-25, an ordinance amending the fire department composition age requirements for appointees, superintendent of fire alarms, mandatory retirement ages, and definitions. This would be second passage. So is there any objection to hearing this item at this time? Seeing none, we are able to do so.
Council President.
Councilman Napa. Oh, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. While reserving an objection, I would raise the question of why this is being held for unanimous consent for second passage instead of going through the usual process of being docketed for second passage.
All right, so just so I'm clear, there's potential objection to unanimous consent. First, you want to have that inquiry?
Correct. I'm not, at this moment, raising an objection to proceeding.
Thank you, Councilman. In consultation with the Council President and following on inquiries that both you and Councilman Lattiser made regarding the provisions of the item, it was, from a scheduling standpoint, asked to bring it under UC this evening in order to consider potential amendments, should you wish. In order to do that and keep this item off collision with budget actions next month at the second meeting, it was thought, let's see what the council's appetite is to bring it under UC this evening. If you want to make amendments, so be it. That is your prerogative or not. But it was more from a scheduling standpoint, not to my knowledge, necessity.
That's good to hear. Thank you. No objection.
All right. So then, are there any objections to this being heard as part of unanimous consent? All right. Seeing none, on to actual discussion. Councilman Napa.
Just a point of clarification. The first passage happened when I was absent from the council meeting. Should I be abstaining from a procedural standpoint? I guess this would be directed at the solicitor.
If you have reviewed the record and feel comfortable in engaging in the action item, then that is up to you as to whether or not you wish to participate.
Understood. Thanks.
All right. So are there any questions and or comments on the proposed ordinance? All righty. Is there a motion?
No. Mr. President.
Oh, there we go. All right. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, I would like to have the solicitor read the proposed amendment into the record.
On behalf of the administration and following up on your inquiries, there were two suggestions that were made. Both are on page 3. The first one is on line 6, which is the deletion of the words "or has been." And the other is on lines 43 and 46 to add the language, the minimum age required to qualify for normal.
the intention, what the chief explained, but the rationale was there was a question about the qualifications in the, hang on a second as I pull it up. The first one having to be who is or has been a sworn member. This clarification is making the addition only be pertinent to expanding the definition of employee by adding those we may need to tweak that language a bit, but the intention is to make clear that the expansion is only applicable to current sworn members. The other, Councilman Ricks, was about ensuring the clarity is there that this is about the normal age for Social Security.
That is accurate on my, at least that particular concern with this issue, in addition to the fact that coming before us under unanimous consent for this item, that was the first thing that struck a chord. Then when I'm looking at this language where it says, or has been, that just strikes another chord and makes me start to wonder what's the purpose behind this. And that's why I raised the issue on that particular three words.
So are you making a motion for the amendment?
Make a motion for the amendment that Solicitor Walsh has put forward.
All right. Is there a second on the motion? Councilman second. Ricks? All right. So motion made to amend and seconded. Are there any questions on the proposed request to amend? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes to amend.
So now the ordinance stands amended. Are there any questions or comments on the proposed ordinance as amended? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Motion made by Councilman Foley, seconded by Councilman Ricks. As amended, this would make this first passage. Any questions or comments on the motion? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes, first passage as amended.
All right, procedurally, because it's under UC, we got to first say, ask, is there any questions or comments from members of the public? Any questions or comments from the public regarding PCO 9-25, ordinance amending the fire department composition requirements for appointees, superintendent of fire alarms, mandatory retirement ages, and definitions, considering the proposed amendment? Hearing none, the motion to approve as amended, first passage stands. All right, next we have still unanimous consent, PCR 45-25, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to amend RIGL 44-5-67.2 regarding property tax classification for the City of Warwick to better stabilize property tax payments. This is on behalf of the administration. Oh,
Mr. President.
Sorry, is there any objection to hearing this under UC? Is that a question on that first?
No, it's an objection. I object.
All right. May 5th? April 21st? Third tries the charm. All right, this will be held automatically to the April 21st meeting. It'll be on the agenda there too, as there is an objection to hearing it under UC. Thank you. Seeing no further business, do we have any motions to adjourn?
Oh, docketing? Since there are no business, no further business in front of this honorable body, I move that we go to a docketing session.
Second. Any objections? All right. Anything, anybody want anything considered for unanimous consent at the next meeting? Seeing none, move right on to the docket. Anything for Ward 1?
Yes. A resolution to the State Traffic Commission in regards to the installation of a left turn arrow added to the southbound side of Warwick Avenue at the intersection of Narragansett Parkway.
Intergovernmental. Ward 2.
Three items, all related. Anyone who wishes is, of course, welcome to join as a sponsor. First item, a resolution recognizing May as Military Appreciation Month. Second item, or I'm sorry, I won't interrupt there.
No, community affairs, so yep, go ahead.
Thank you. Second item, a resolution recognizing May as Jewish American Heritage Month.
Community affairs.
And third, I think I have them all here, a resolution recognizing May as Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month.
So community affairs.
That's all. Thank you.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Yes, Mr. President, I have one, an ordinance, and the title is School Department Bargaining Contracts.
Ordinance is. Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 7.
Yes. Yes.
All right, and Ward 9 has no choice, and Ward 8 passes. So we stand adjourned at 8:36 p.m.